Thank you, Charlie. What I'm going like I say, what I'm going to talk about today is using verification strips to delineate treatment zones, management areas, and what are just the basic definition of verification strips. These are just strips through the field, run the length of the field with one single treatment application. Use that to be able to compare it to the farmer standard in different zones in the field, different areas of the field. Sometimes it's an untreated. I mean, it can be, today we're talking about nematodes and nematicides. Sometimes we can be talking about fertilizer, any kind of herbicide, anything like that, that will also can use the same technique. And sometimes when you put out a prescription and you want to know if it works, you've got to have an untreated area. And that's where this strip comes in, is an untreated area. It goes down through the field, gives you something to compare it to. You have to know, because it doesn't always work the same in every year. You have to compare from year to year. Okay, in 2007, we were working with a grower in Waterproof who were actually going to do a foliar insecticide test in this field. And we got out there looking at the field and discovered this blank area, which is typical root knot, turns up root knot damage, nematode damage. We looked at it and talked to him about it, and really at this point, wasn't anything we could do with the field, but we talked to him about doing something in the future when he comes back to cotton, because he was going to rotate to corn the next year. And we went out that fall and took nematode samples. And as you can see, the root reniform, extremely high. I mean, we had a lot of them out there. And on the root knot, we only had root knot nematodes in the Bruin silt loam. There were actually three soil types in the field, the Bruin silt loam, Commerce silt loam, and a Commerce silty clay loam. It's a very strong field. It's only about a half mile from Mississippi River. It's a very good producer, does very well. But he only had the root knot populations in the Bruin. The Commerce silt and the silty clay loam didn't have any. So we went on, we collected the yield in that field, and as you can see, it actually picked 1,495 pounds of lint. And that's what came out of the back of the gin. I mean, that was actual what it actually picked. Now, you look at the red areas in here, and those areas, you know, those are your low areas. That's the picture actually was taken right in this area right here where it's blank. And you can see the orange where it's low and the high yielding as you're going back through the field. I mean, this was some really good cotton, and I show this to some producers. You know, we're talking about nematodes and zones and just different things, and all they see is three bales of cotton. Why do I need to know anything else? You know, it made three bales, you know. But it did show that the actual low part of the field was about 10 acres that cane was picked below less than a bale or less. And it really affected his end profit that he could have. You know, it took about 8 acres to bring that 10 acres up to break even. So out of a 78 acre field, he only actually made money on 60 acres. The rest of it just barely broke even. Now, the next year in 2008, he went out, he planted corn. It was a good year for corn. You really couldn't, I've got the yield maps, you really couldn't tell any difference as far as across the field. It looked good, he made a good crop. The river was up, he got a lot of seep water underneath it, and he just did real well. So we're coming back into 2009. He's coming into the field, he's gonna plant cotton. We wanted to set up the verification strips of going across the field. So I took the 2007 yield map to place my strips. You can see I've got two of them in the lowest areas where the lowest yield was. Got two kind of in between just to set them up. So we'd make sure we were in the right place. We weren't off in some off area. And then during this time, we also collected the soil data of USDA. Soil data, the zones. Like you say, you got the lightest is the Bruin, the Commerce silt loam in the middle, and the silty clay loam on the back side of the field. And you see how our strips go across. They cover all the zones. Now, he also had DPC data for it. Here again, we looked at what he had, divided into five zones. We covered four of them. Actually, the fifth zone down here on the very end, and down on the far southeast end, we didn't have a strip in, so we didn't really include those. But we did cover like I said, we covered the majority of the field and got a good sampling across the field with the EC. We used all this to kind of set up our zones for the field. Now, we came this year in March of this year. We came out, we put out telon, we used a Coulter rig. We put 3 gallons directly under the drill. We used a Premier rig, it went out fine. We put it out in one. We put it out in 24 row blocks. You saw they were spaced out across the field. It was perfect conditions. It just went out just right. The farmer came back, planted it. You know, when he got ready, he just planted it. Everything went out really well. Did a good job. Now, as the season started off, you really wasn't seeing a whole lot of difference until about the end of May. And I was by there one day around the end of May, and I noticed all of a sudden I could see differences just from the road, just riding by. You could all of a sudden see just differences where the cotton went up and down across the field. You were seeing a little thin. There wasn't the major stand loss like it was in 07. Now, 07 was the second year of cotton. So it had been cotton behind cotton. This year, there wasn't that huge stand loss. There was some thinning, and there were some weak plants out there, and you could see that. But there just wasn't the stand loss. But you could still see a height difference and a vigor difference. It just looked, the treated area just looked better. And so we came in, got an aerial image flown with NDVI, and you can really pick out the strips where it is. I mean, you have the worst areas, the two on the far, the east side of the field, where we had the worst damage in 07, and again this year showing up. I mean, we're significantly better. The third one from the east end, I mean, all of a sudden it's just solid green. Not really sure why it did so well when it was supposedly in one of the weaker areas, one of the more uniform areas. And then the fourth one is kind of like the first two. You know, it's a mixed, it showed significantly better because of, you know, we treated out there for the nematodes. And we also discovered one other little thing. You see this little strip right here? It goes down through the field. Well, I mean, that's a straight line, so that generally is not something natural. And looking back, in the fall of 07, we knew the producer was going to corn in 08. We went out and tried to put out some strips of telon. Well, they had run an in-row subsoil and re-hipped the rows, and it was just soft, and we put out 12 rows, one round. Went down and back, ended up tearing all his rows up and just messing everything up. Busted a hose on the rig and said, well, it's time to go to the house. It's just quit. You know, they came in immediately. He had a hipper sitting there, and he just re-hipped the rows. We left it. Didn't think anything about it. Didn't show up anything in the corn. And then all of a sudden, we get an NDVI image, and we've got a strip here going from the front to the back, just like in the same place we put it out. Now, whether that's what it is or not, what it was, I don't know, but something went on there, and it made sense. I mean, it did show up now. It didn't carry on into yield. This is the yield map from this year. The field actually picked around 1,100 pounds average, which was good, considering, especially since we had 16 inches of rain. You know, we went through all the rain. It really hurt. When they picked it, the ground was just white. I mean, there was cotton everywhere on the ground. You can still see some differences looking at it with the strips compared to what was beside it. You can still see some differences. Not as dramatic as it was back in June, but it is there. I will say, too, as the season progressed into August, looking at the field visually, you couldn't quite tell as much difference. The untreated area had kind of, at least vegetatively, had grown up to look similar to the treated area. There wasn't that marked difference. If you knew where, could walk out there and you knew exactly where to look, you could find differences, but you really had to look for them. But in this case, I mean, as we come down to the end, you can still see some difference. I mean, it does show up. The yield was well, like I said, 1,100 pounds, but not sure what it would have been if we had gone on and hadn't had the rain and they could have picked it right. Our little strip over here on this side of the field didn't show up at harvest. You know, I don't know where it went, but it didn't show up. But taking all this into account, we analyzed the data, figured the mean. On the Bruin silt loam, we had 102-pound yield increase treated over the untreated. Commerce, we had 71 pound. Commerce Celtic Clay Loam, 55 pounds. So we did get some results out of it. Across the EC zones, zone one, which was the lightest zone in the Bruin, we got 94 pounds. Zone two, 63. Zone three, 131. And zone four was 16 pounds. Now, as to why the 131 pounds in zone three, I'm not real sure whether it was just kind of odd. Maybe we didn't have enough of zone three, enough yield points in there. Maybe it was a little better. I'm not really sure one way or another. And that's kind of one thing you have to look at this. You can't look at it just as it's set in stone from one year. It's a multi-year process. It's a long-term thing. This will be something we're looking at next year. We've pulled nematode levels after this fall, after harvest. You can still see we still got a lot of reniform out there. We've got significant populations, plenty of root knot on the Bruin silt. We've still got them on the Commerce. There's none on the silty clay. Actually, in 2007, there were none on the Commerce silt loam. So we have them there. We still have good, significant populations out there, both. You know, comparing that again here to the EC zones, still got a lot of reniform all the way across. The root knot goes all the way out to zone four. We picked up a few in each zone. So we have plenty of nematodes out there. This is for the producers going back to cotton next year. And he wanted a prescription map to look at putting out telon, to treat it, to see what he could do. So we came up with this. We used, looking at it several ways, it actually came out better with the using the soil zones. The green area is the treated area, and that's all the Bruin silt loam soils. We looked at that. It's 24 acres in there. It's 54 acres of untreated. Roughly 30% of the field be treated. 70% won't. And you see I've put my strips back in there. Now, and I've got telon strips down there, and I should have telon and untreated. Because in this case, we'll have 24 rows of telon that goes all the way through the field, from one end to the other, to compare on the low end where we've got the untreated areas, to see it, to compare with down there. But we'll also have 24 rows of untreated to see if our prescription worked. We may need to refine that some more. Look at it a little differently. Some suggestions for developing all this into a management plan. You got to start somewhere. Start with the soil textural zones. You get that from the farmer's knowledge of the field. It's invaluable. They know more about that field than we do, sometimes know more about it than the maps. NRCS soil data, that's a key component. Non-crop imagery, where it's bare ground. Sometimes you can pick out things from that you don't all see on the ground. EC data, you mix them all together, kind of try to pick some of the best from all of them. Put them together to come up with zones that you can start with in that field. Then you got to sample, whether you do it grid sampling, zone sampling, however you do it, you need to do it site specifically so you can apply that back to the zones. Put them in the right place. Sample for nematodes and for fertility. Fertility is important because sometimes, you know, it's not necessarily nematodes. You have nematodes out there. Sometimes you have fertility problems too that are magnified by the nematodes. You know, it's all mixed in together. You have to solve your fertility problems first. Focus on your progress. I mean, it's one year at a time. You learn from each thing. You know, we started this looking at this field in 07. We went with corn, and we're back to cotton, and we're going again to cotton. It's just a learning process as it goes along. And it is a multi-year thing. I mean, it just keeps going on, and you have to keep adjusting as the years go by. Keep modifying, looking at it a little different. Keep learning from it, and you'll get it on down. You can narrow it on down and down. And I want to acknowledge and thank Dow AgriScience, Cotton Incorporated, and Louisiana Cotton State Support Committee for their help. And thank you.